Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
So here we are then for the Thursday phone-in, and we've got a couple of subjects. If you want to give us a call, you can, 240666. If you're calling from the mainland, you're more than welcome. I'd love to hear from Amanda. We haven't spoken to Amanda for a while, so maybe she's listening. 01983 240666. You may be at university. All right, I just had a message from the wife. She's just texted me. I can't read it out because she's not very happy.
Not about the film, Lucy, then.
I don't know. Right, okay. So we've got two subjects. If you want to give us a call, you can, 240666, 240666. And you can email studio@vectisradio.com, plus says have your say on vectisradio@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also message us on Facebook as well. Details on the way here very soon. I'm just going to turn on Skype as well. Let's turn on Skype. So if you can, if you want to Skype us and save yourself a couple of quid, feel free to do so. So we asked the question earlier on. It was about empty nest syndrome. Empty nest syndrome. The phone rings. Hi, who's this?
Jar Jar Binks.
Do you know what? I wrote it down. I wrote it down. Jar Jar Binks was the one with the tongue.
It was the worst thing they ever did.
Was it?
Yeah, he was. Oh, he was awful, mate. He was totally out of place in a film like that.
I remember. I don't remember the film. What I remember of it, Keith, is we had because it must have come out what 10, 15 in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, Liam Neeson was in it, wasn't he? As well as Ewan McGregor.
And we had these characters that you could give away, and what they had was they had the head, and inside the head was this tongue. And it was sticky, and you could use it to flick and pick things up. And we had to give them away. When I was working at another radio station, we had to give these things away. But do you know what? I kept a lot for myself, because they were good fun.
Yeah, because that was the darker side of the movie, wasn't it, with Darth Maul?
I don't know, because I never... Is that the red and black one?
That's the one. You got him.
So I didn't really watch it.
And he killed Key Guy John, wasn't it, which was Liam Neeson.
My son was really, really into it at the time. And I remember sitting there watching it for 2.5 or 3 hours, however long it was, and thinking, God, blimey, I can't wait for this to finish. I'm really bored. And it was. I just didn't get Star Wars at all. I wasn't really into anything.
There was an underwater city, wasn't it, with these big fat bloke. I already couldn't understand a word he said.
I ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Keith, we're talking first jobs.
Oh, right, yeah, as a farmer. I was a farm labourer.
Farm labourer.
£7.50 a week.
How old were you, Keith?
15.
£7.50 a week?
Yeah.
Wow. That's not much, is it?
Well, when you consider I could get, I was 15, I must admit, but I shouldn't be saying this, but I could get 10 number 10 in a pint of lighter bitter for about 22p.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I used to smoke then as well.
Well, number 10?
Yeah.
A little brown pack. You had number 6, didn't you?
Yeah, number 6.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, players number 6. Yeah. Then you had JPS, which was the long black packet.
Yeah. Long black packet,
Kensington, wasn't it, they're called?
You used to have, well, there was loads of them, wasn't it? What was the other one? Guards? Do you remember Guards?
Yes, yeah.
I said a white one with a horse and a soldier in it.
Tasted like it as well.
Mind you, it didn't matter what it tasted like. I used to smoke it.
No, that's right. You had, do you remember Golden Sobrani? Cocktail cigarettes.
Yes.
They had different colours.
The different colours, that's right.
That's it, yeah. They were all the rage at one time. Yeah. About 1972, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Things, the little black thing.
There's the black ones, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it, yeah. Yeah, they did look weird.
You used to look quite posh with one of those in your
hand. Well, I suppose having the cocktail stick, didn't you?
Yeah.
Not cocktail stick, what do they call it? Those long things. Smoking stick.
A cigarette holder.
A cigarette holder, that's it, isn't it?
Bette Lynch used to have one, didn't she?
So, who?
Bette Lynch.
Yes, I think she did.
Yeah.
Did she? What, that was to stop you staining your fingers, wasn't it?
Have you got stained fingers?
Some of them were about 2 foot long.
Yeah. No, I never had stained fingers.
Have you got stained fingers, Keith?
No, mate, not anymore. I did have when I was smoking.
Yeah, see.
The worst one was roll-ups.
Roll-ups.
Yeah, I never had roll-ups.
My mate used to have roll-ups with licorice papers.
That's right. Yeah, my dad did.
It made it taste sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Crikey. Yeah, so there you were back in 1972,
yeah.
And you were a farmer.
72,
farm labourer.
How many years was you a farm labourer for?
Oh, crikey, not long. Only about a year, because I sort of got the sack.
You got come on, Keith. Why did you get the sack?
Tell us a story.
I was Matthew Ferguson 135, and I was trying to impress one of the girls that were, one of the farm's daughters on the farm. So I went flying into the tractor garage, going backwards, and I forgot to stop, not the Wardo. Yeah, not the Wardo.
We shouldn't laugh.
No, we shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much the worry of the wall, it's the fact that I smashed up all the hydraulics.
Right.
Mm. You reckon that would cost more than fix than what it would do the wall.
Crikey. So that was your first job. What was the second job then? What did you do after
tire
that?
Tyre fitter.
Tyre fitter?
Yeah, tyre fitter.
All right, excellent.
Marsham Tyres.
Brilliant.
Third job I was... the third job I was petrol pump attendant.
Right.
That's when this guy used to come in and fill up his Rover 3.5. And it was 5-star at the time. I think it was something stupid like 23 pence a gallon. Not a litre, a gallon.
Mm.
Yeah. Crikey.
Yeah.
Have times changed, Ian?
Oh, they have.
Well, my first job was at Farmers Dairies in Shanklin. I worked 40 hours a week. And this was during the summer of 1980. £30 a week. And I was doing like from 8.30 till 4.30, get half an hour for lunch.
Yeah, they built houses on that, haven't they?
I think it was flats, actually.
Flats, that's it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, As you come out of Lake and head towards Shanklin, it's on the brow of the hill, just before you get to the bridge.
That's
where it was.
Yeah, that's right.
And they used to do the most amazing ice cream there. They had the butter ice cream that they used to do, the real creamy, and it was just lovely to die for. It was.
It's like, what's that other firm that sort of disappeared? Was it Nye? They used to be in Shanklin. They used to do all the postcards and whatnot.
No, I don't remember them.
I think it was Nye's, N-I-G-H they were called. And I used to deliver a load of stuff to them because they used to print all the Holloway postcards and whatnot. I'm sure it was them, Nye.
Oh, right. No, I don't remember.
I think they were on the site where
right.
Or what they call it, the supermarket in Shanklin.
I might have a little look up on the internet. How are you spelling it?
N-I-G-H. Nye.
N-I-G-H.
I'm pretty sure they're well known. Used to do postcards for all around the world, I think, if I remember when I was speaking to the guy when I was delivering to him.
I remember there was a factory on the island that did them for all around the world, but I don't think it was that surname. I think
another one.
Another
was,
one.
It was the big printers. It was up on Forest Road.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking
Dixon's.
Of.
Dixon's.
That's it.
That's
Dixon's.
Right. They used to do them for different countries, didn't they?
That's it. Mm. They used to print calendars and all sorts up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And also there was the Ronson factory next door to it.
Ronson's,
right.
I remember delivering stuff to them.
Did they used to make lighters and things
yes.
like that?
Yes.
All sorts, mate. Another one was Kenwood over at Golden Hill Fort.
Yeah, Freshwater Way.
That's it, mate, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, they were still going until a couple of years ago, but I think they've had a name change now, haven't they?
I don't know, mate, but I know that, you know, going back, this is only going back about 25 years, 20 years, 25 years, and they were booming, mate, because they used to send me over with stuff. I used to bring stuff over for them, and they were sending a lorry back to the mainland twice a week.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they used to make, I think they made all the actual machinery parts, not the actual finishing bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know what? This is incredible. You mentioned Nye.
Yeah.
WJ Nye and Sons Limited. They're still going.
Are they really?
They're still going. They're in Station Approach, Shanklin.
That's it. I knew they was down that way somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do all sorts of stuff now. Giftware and cards and beachwear and footwear and all sorts. Yeah.
That's it. Because I remember the postcards, when they were finished, the finished thing, it used to say on the back, printed or done by W... or whatever they're called, Nye.
Yeah.
Shanklin and Lyle White.
Wow.
Mm.
That's incredible. You'll check them out. It's WJNye.
Nye, that's it.
.co.uk.
They
got a website now. You can check it out. And it's really oldie-worldy when you have a look at it. It's got some brilliant photographs.
Well, they were. I don't know whether they were actually original islanders, but, you know, they were just simple folk like myself at the time.
They got a picture
here.
Like
that, have you
listened to this? they got a picture here of I think it's Shanklin. It must be Shanklin Beach. I think it's Shanklin Beach.
Yeah.
And it must be about 30 odd. I'm just looking to see if I can see Shirley in the picture.
Yeah.
Have a look at the website though, Keith. It's there.
You're talking like that, mate. The bit I like is when you look on these websites that's on the internet that got the old pictures of the island from the 70s and that sort of thing. And it's a bustling, thriving place, mate.
Yeah.
You go over there now, which is sadly, there's nothing there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
right. It's
a
great shame, really, mate. I know we're going on about the same old story. But
it is. Have a look, though, because I say, WJ9 Sons, it's on the website. They've got the stationery stuff. They've got all the other stuff that they're doing as well. So
yeah, they used to make
out.
Pens. They're telling me they used to do pens for Red Funnel, the little boat float backwards and forwards inside.
They used to do their own confectionery as well.
Yeah, I expect so.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Have a look at the website. Thanks for your call, Keith.
All right, mate. All the best. Bye, Shirley.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye, Keith. You,
mate.
Cheers
Hello.
Now. Bye.
Bye.
It's 12:15. That was interesting. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that they were actually still going, this company. I'll say they've got the website again. Again, check it out. It's WJNIGH.co.uk. And they've got all the stuff there. They've got a load. They've got a clearance section as well, as well as the stationery stuff, Christmas stuff, and the sweets that they do as well. And there's loads of other things on there. Now, what did you say your first job was?
I worked in a shop.
What did you do? Shoplift?
It was like a it was like a grocery shop.
Right.
It was a grocery shop. Yeah, but you know, we had to weigh the sugar out in a bag and weigh the something out. Somebody's written on my Facebook that they worked in a shop where they had to weigh everything out. So it's interesting, really. Claire said that she can remember weighing up bags of potatoes.
Crikey, you don't do that anymore,
do you?
That's
what we had to do. Everything we had to weigh up.
Crikey.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll come back to your list in a moment. Let's take another call. Hi, who's this?
Hello there, young man. How are you?
Hello, young lady.
Hello.
Hiya, Cheryl.
Hello.
I just thought I'd have a go. So bear
good.
With me, because you know what I'm like.
Good for you.
Phone in live.
It's all fine. We don't bite, and Shirley can't, because she ain't got a teeth in.
No.
Horrible.
I had to put mine in to make the phone call.
do you know what? I don't like making phone calls either.
I don't know what it is. It's driving me crazy. I'm fine anywhere else, but as soon as I have to
make a phone call... Do you know, I'm exactly the same. I could sit and talk to somebody face-to-face, but having to phone somebody up...
Yep.
I write it all down first. I get all flustered.
Can you see me through the computer, Cheryl? Because I've just been doing that.
Oh, really?
I just jotted down a few things because I thought otherwise.
Do you do that thing when the phone does ring? Oh, who's that now?
Sometimes. I have my phone set up so that I can see who's calling me.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Sorry, I'll cut you off in your prime anyway.
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll keep butting in. I usually do.
Good for you.
My first job was Reader's Fancy Crafts in Totland, and I was a welder.
A welder?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I started off, the first week I was in the packing department, and then they decided that maybe I could have a go at welding and see how I got on with that, because they thought maybe that would be better for me. Because they were lovely people, the Readers. And Pat, do you remember Pat? She was a singer, wasn't she?
That's right. Is she the one that we saw at Shanklin Theatre?
Probably.
Medina Theatre.
Medina Theatre.
Somewhere.
Shanklin Theatre.
Reader? Was she a brother of Mike Reader?
She was Pat Reader, was singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, the whole family were involved, and she was the one who sort of taught me to do packing.
Oh, crikey.
And then I think it was her who suggested that I probably would do well down on, down in the...
down with the men.
There was women there as well. Now
right.
Stop it, Shelby. there was a lot of women who did the welding as well. And because my brother worked there, my brother who I lost recently, he worked there as well. So I went and did that, and I had to... What I was actually welding was, I don't know if you'll remember, Cheryl, but they used to have lampshades that had, and like candle holders and things with little leaves on them.
Yes,
and I had to weld the leaf onto the actual thing. And we had to wear a little leather apron thing because the sparks from the welder used to burn our jeans.
I bet, yes.
But
cool.
I quite liked that, except that I wasn't really suitable for the job because you had to, it was piecework and you had to do a certain amount a week. And I've never been able to work fast. I can do a good job, but I can't do it if I'm made to do it fast. So I was always brought up that you didn't do something unless you did it properly. So
yeah.
I couldn't just fly through something and just, you know, that didn't suit me at all.
Do you know, I don't know whether people do piecework now or not.
I haven't a clue.
It was always something that happened in our time when we were younger. And I don't know if people do that anymore.
And if you didn't make £5 a week, then they decided that they didn't really want you. And it was getting along those lines. And I knew that Terry, do you know, it's just come into my head. The foreman's name was Terry. Can't remember what the second name was. But he was sort of saying to me, you know, you're going to have to work a bit faster and everything. And I couldn't. So in those days, again, you could leave a job on Friday and start another one on Monday.
And I
went from there to Totland Chalet Hotel as a chambermaid. But I had to be up very early in the morning to do the early morning teas. So I didn't really take to that one too long. But would you believe I'm still in touch with the boss's wife and her daughters and son. I'm still in touch with them now, all these years later.
Oh, that's lovely.
I've stayed in touch with them all over the years, still in touch with her as well. And then I went from there to Yarmouth Laundry. I enjoyed that. That was good, with big presses doing all the sheets and everything. And there was a little lady there who taught me how to iron shirts and stuff, and that was all useful. And from there I went on to Acorn Spring Factory, which is now the co-op in Freshwater.
Crikey.
You've had a few jobs then.
Oh, I had loads more, but I mean, you know, that's just the sort of main ones that I lasted more than a week at. But that factory, I got to, I was let go from there, or sacked basically, by Dave. I do remember him. And he let me go, and the reason was I was unsuitable for factory work. And that was because me and my friend both worked and sat next to each other, and we were making these springs, and I realised that the machine wasn't working properly, so I reported it to the tool man, and he came over to fix the machine. My friend was the same, and she said, well, I'm not telling anybody because I won't get my work out if I do. So she carried on and did the whole lot wrong, but she was suitable for factory work, and because I stopped and got mine put right, I then didn't get the amount out that I needed to, so I was unsuitable for factory work.
Dave, you're the name and shame. What was his last name? Do you remember?
I do.
Oh, go on then.
Go on. Is he still
Dave
around?
Dave Ormiston.
Is he still around?
I couldn't tell you. Dave Ormiston, I'll never forget him.
Yeah, and I won't forget him now.
Dave Ormiston, no.
Can you imagine? Would that be allowed now?
It probably wouldn't. It wouldn't be. No.
You'd be given a rise and a supervisor role.
Yeah, but
it's weird, isn't it? But, I mean, I didn't mind because I went on from there and did various other things, shops. I worked in a, like you said, Shirley, I worked in a grocery shop. And then I went on and started my training at St. Mary's in 66 to 68. So, and then I went off to the mainland and ran a guest house.
Oh,
crikey, you should write a book.
Yeah, yes, I know everybody you have done keeps a lot. Saying. Yeah. I was the youngest landlady in, well, some people said in the UK. I don't know how true that was, but I was certainly the youngest landlady in Gloucester.
Because
I was only 21.
Yes,
and
yeah.
And I was running a guest house for men.
Oh.
Men, you know those days, they used to... at it again, I'm not sure.
That's
an open goal now.
Training places. Do you remember that men used to go off... women didn't do it, just men used to go off... If there wasn't work in their area, they went off to somewhere and they went to a training place. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I can remember.
Well, we had a training place in the Bristol Road in Gloucester, and the guest house was in Bristol Road. So my father-in-law, who owned it, he decided that, he knew where the money was. So he said, right, we're not doing that anymore. We're now going to take in these working men. And he said, you'll be all right. They're only here Monday to Friday, and then you've got the weekend to yourself. So I thought, oh, that's not bad. But that didn't happen. They decided to stay because they liked it.
Oh.
So instead of going home for the weekend, they used to stay at the hotel. And I was married. And I was a good girl. So.
Good for you.
Well done. Yeah.
We wouldn't have expected any different.
No, of course you wouldn't.
We wouldn't have.
I don't know. If you'd known me then, you might.
We were all the same then, Carmel.
Yes, we were, weren't we? Yes. I liked when you were talking earlier, Cheryl, about the that programme. I haven't watched it because it still irritates me as
she
well.
She does, yes.
But I do love the little girl, the actress who does it.
She's
saw her on
fantastic.
This
highly recommend it. It's brilliant. But
it is good.
You can't help but thinking, oh, crikey, why couldn't you have been Cilla Black? You know, and we would have liked you then.
Yeah.
I will admit, I did like Cilla, but then it's only as years have gone on that I've gone off her.
As she's got older, she's got worse, I think.
Yes, I think she was, you know, we quite looked up to her, and I used to have my hair like hers.
That's
I used
right.
to wear the dresses like
yeah.
hers.
Yeah.
I used to dye my hair
too.
Like she did.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, we end.
Thanks for your call, Mrs. Jane.
That's right, very welcome. I'm taking up all your time.
That's all right.
Lovely
anytime.
To talk to you. Take care.
And you.
See you soon,
bye-bye.
Honey.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, Kevin Boynton says, Farmers Dairies at Allen Bay. Didn't realise there was another Farmer's Dairies, £25 a week. So only, I was on £30 a week, he was on £25. Julian Ravenscroft, otherwise known as Jay the Lardy Barber. He's listening over there in Hao Pin in Thailand.
In Thailand.
He worked at Lakeside in Wootton, 25 pence an hour. I was rich, he says. Now, Lakeside and Wootton, I'm not sure. Back then, it would have been maybe a holiday centre.
It would
then.
Have been something else then.
So he may have been like, because we worked there for a little bit with our mum and our sister before they had a row and fought, fell out and never spoke for years. We used to go and help them because they used to strip the beds. And we used to go and they used to strip the beds, chuck the sheets to us, and then we used to run them up to the laundrette bit. So, you know, I would imagine that's what Lardy was doing.
Mm.
Working at Lakeside, 25 pence an hour.
Yeah.
How times have changed. Yeah. Lisa Burt says she was a trainee dental nurse. I was awful. Well, that's good to know. Ruthie Bennett says, I'm still in my first paid job. When I started 32 years ago, I got £25 a week. This is Ruthie Bennett. And I know where Ruthie is, and she is a really, really lovely lady. I used to go to school. We used to be in the same class, Ruthie and I. And she is still in the same job. And you'll find Ruthie, funny enough, next door to Lardy's place in Pyle Street. And there they are, next door to each other in this message. How incredible is that?
So she works next door to the barbers?
Yeah, in While You Wait Services.
Oh, the key cutting place.
The key cutting.
Key cutting.
Yeah. So if you want to go see Ruthie and get your boots resold or a zip for a coat
that's right.
In a nice new coat that you've got and the zip's gone home a bit, they'll fix the zip for you. Yeah, they'll do your shoes and they'll cut your keys as well. Go and see. She is such a laugh. She is one of the funniest and the nicest characters there is in Newport. That actually owns a shop, and there she is. She's in the same job for 32 years.
Blimey.
She ought to get a medal, didn't she?
Yeah.
Now, what else have we got here? Lynn Blackledge. Lynn Blackledge has been on the show a few times, but she hasn't been in for a long time because we've not invited her in. She kind of takes over, and she's bossy as well. £89 per month as a primary school teacher.
Wow.
So your son's a primary school teacher now, isn't he?
I've got no idea what they get now.
I bet he's on like £20,000 plus, isn't he?
Oh, I should think so, yeah.
So you think £89 a month, that's crikey. What's that, about £1,000?
Yeah, it is about £1,000 a year.
About £1,000. Good grief. And your son's probably earning twice that in a month.
Oh, I should think so, yes, yeah.
Incredible. Pauline Marsh says, Sea Close open air swimming pool.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember going in there? I'll tell you what, back in the summer of 1976 at Sea Close Swimming Pool, we used to go there. They had, it was so hot that they had sessions. And they would allow you in for 2 hours, then they'd kick you out and let other people come in as well. £36.33 a week. And that was that's age 16. That was many, many years ago, it says. Obviously, now that's a council office now, I believe.
It is. That's where they... Yes, it is all council offices, yeah.
That's interesting, though, because I remember going there so many times. And it was a really good pool.
When we used to come down to visit Mum and Dad, because, you know, we lived on the mainland, we always used to go to that pool.
Now, if I remember rightly, they had a couple of... originally, they only had one big pool, and it was probably 6 foot up one end and 3 foot down the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they extended it, and then they had a couple of smaller pools, and there was a load of seating area for people to sit down. Angela Fountain, who used to go out with my brother years ago, my first part-time paid job was working in Newport Bus Station Cafe. I remember that cafe.
Yes.
I remember working in there as well when I was just 15.
Yeah.
So long ago, I can't remember how much I got paid, but we did get a free cooked meal and drinks free of charge. My first real job was at County Hall in the personnel department.
Oh.
So she worked at the council them years ago. I remember that cafe. It was a really big cafe,
wasn't it? Remember it. Yes. Yeah, it was a big place.
Sandy Paul says, a lot less than yours, mate. It was £2.06. What's that? £2.06, 10D. What's that? That's old money, isn't it?
Ten pennies. Oh, crikey.
£2.06, would that be?
Yeah.
And 10...
Pence.
10 pence. Crikey. Working at Miller's at the top of the high street in Newport. I don't remember Miller's. Do you remember Miller's?
Oh, gosh, no.
No, I don't either. She must be really, really old.
Oh, gosh, she might be older
than even older than you.
She could be.
Ian Room says, washing up in the Wishing Well pub in Pondwell for £1.20 an hour. £1.20 an hour. And they want to put the rate up to, they want to put up to a tenner, the Green Party, don't they, in a few years' time?
But the minimum wage.
What are we on now? £7.50?
Something like that.
Paul, Frank Sanders, Roger Sanders, Frank Cheverton Ford dealer in Newport. He was an office junior and he was paid just £6 a week. That's Roger Sanders, who used to have Sanders Sports
in
the High Street.
I remember that. Yeah.
I don't remember Frank Chiverton Ford dealer. It was probably there, I would imagine, would it have been taken over by Premier Ford? It's just down the road here.
Yeah,
on the industrial
sector.
Probably. But an office junior, £6 a week. So you're probably working six days a week. You get £1 a day.
Mm.
You just imagine if you had to get up. Mm. Oh, don't, because it reminds me of me. Yes, I do get up for £1 a day. Rude Boy Hales Badger. Now, that's a name and a half. I'm surprised you've ever had a job with a name like that, being honest. Working at Tony's Chip Shop in Newport High Street. £30 per week.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Joyce Salter said, at least you made the effort, mate. Jonathan Skeet says, I worked at a fruit farm in Funtington. Got to be careful how you say that.
Mm.
West Sussex. Harvesting apples, pears and plums from September through to October. It was fantastic. Late summer weather all through. I was young and fit and built up a fantastic tan. It was so exciting getting all that money each week after just getting a couple of quid pocket money. There was also a lovely young medical student working there too. But that's another story.
Well, you must tell us more one day.
Maybe Jonathan will tell us the story next week in another instalment. Kevin Barclay J says, I was a pharmacy assistant 6 days a week. That's £28. £28. That's young,
that,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You could be helping yourself to all sorts. And you probably did, knowing you, Kevin. Maria Sylvester, who I used to knock around with years ago.
Right.
Her name is Maria Barton, and I think she's daughter of Morris Barton. Remember him?
Uh-huh. Yes,
still
I
going
do.
Strong.
Yeah.
She used to work at Adams Children's Wear.
That's right, Adams
the store in
Newport.
Yeah.
9
till 5:30, £25 a week. So it was like £5 a day, wasn't it? David Doyle says, my uncle's market in East London, 1994, age 13. £10 for 6 hours work, but got to meet lots of weird and wonderful and dodgy characters.
I bet.
Working in the market. We used to have a market. Were you here on the island when we used to have the market? It would be where Morrison's is now.
We used to have a cattle market, didn't we? Do you remember the cattle market?
Where Morrison's
market?
Was.
That's right.
Yeah.
I used to bring our children when they were little. We used to love going down that cattle market.
And on a Wednesday, they used to have the other market as well. And you used to be able to get all your cheap sweets.
Cheap meat.
Everything in there.
Yes.
Cheap sweets, cheap clothes, cheap everything.
Mm.
Cheap women.
I don't know about that.
Ali Hayden says, washing up at the Aqua Hotel on Shanklin Seafront at 13 years of age. I got 40 pence an hour. I got a kiss there as well. Aqua Hotel, I remember doing a gig down there about 10, 15 years ago. David Nove says, White Horse Pub in Rottingdean. Paid £9 a week. And Thomas Keane, 1965, he's going right back in time, an office boy at J.S. White's shipyard for 40 hours a week. I was paid £3 a week back in 1965. That was gross pay. Net pay worked out about £2.60 in today money. That's Sir Thomas Keane remembering 1965. That's incredible.
Yeah.
They pay 40 pence in payments. You'd think they'd give them that, wouldn't you? £2.60 came out with. Carter's Collectibles, job in Rediffusion Warehouse, office in Wales.
Oh, I remember Rediffusion.
Rediffusion.
Yeah.
£15 a week, full time. And David J. Furness says, in the army, like your son. That was his first job. And all trades, Isle of Wight, luggage porter at Sandown train station. I had an old pram and removed the cot and put a board out on it and then walked with the people to their hotel carrying the luggage. This was around 1980. Oh. And some days I earn over 25 quid.
Wow, yeah.
Do you reckon he done that? It wasn't like a proper job, he just invented the job.
He just did it himself.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Bit of a Dell boy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
good
on you. On you. So I think what we do is we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about empty nest syndrome. That was the job front. What was your first job? Maybe we've got Jonathan Bacon in at the moment. He's a volunteer for Vectis Radio, and maybe what do you reckon? Let's see if we can guess what Jonathan's first job was. What do you reckon Jonathan did back in 1970 when he got his first job?
I think he worked in a chemist.
Do you reckon?
I could just see Jonathan in a chemist.
Can't see him in an hairdresser, can you? Not with that.
No. I don't think he's always had a lot of hair, though.
I bet you that Jonathan didn't have a job until he left school.
He went to university.
Because I think he's very posh.
I do. I think he went to university, and he didn't leave there till he was in his 20s.
I reckon you're right. I reckon Jonathan didn't have a job until he was about 25.
No, I don't think he had to. I think his parents are quite well off.
And then...
So he didn't have to go to work. I bet he didn't have to do any work at home either.
Fell on bad times, had to become a bin man.
He might have been,
then got lucky.
Well, I think it's when he got married to his wife now, that's when he fell on hard times and he had to be a bin man. Because she was out spending all his money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like she does. Now, what do you think, seriously, what do you think he did? I don't think he had a job until he was 25 because he went to university.
Well, he went into law, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think he stayed in law.
I think he would have been like a shoe shine boy or something like that.
I don't think you had to do a paper round or anything, do you?
No.
Do you think? No, don't think so.
No, I think that would have been
interesting
him.
To know what he did do.
We'll take a break and we'll find out and we'll talk empty nest syndrome when we do.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Hi, my name's Tony Bray. Several years ago, I read Maggie Curry's book, What You Believe Creates Your Reality. It was a turning point for me, and since then, I've achieved things I thought I would never be able to achieve. I've lost several stone in weight. I've managed to swim across the Solent twice. I've raised £16,000 for motor neurone disease. I've become the chairman of the association on the Isle of Wight. And all this started by just reading Maggie's book. I recommend you do so, and I recommend you speak to Maggie, because she will make a positive difference to your life. I totally guarantee it.
While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
Westridge Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde.
White Office Equipment Computer Repair is all you need to have your computer or laptop repaired from just £20 plus VAT. This includes all labour for as long as it takes us. Just drop your laptop or computer into our high street store at your convenience and collect it when it's been repaired. No need to book. Come and see us at the High Street, Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's, or call 400-045. That's 400-045.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, news, photos and more, covering island bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give you their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews, Fretbuzz now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels, to advertising and features on the site. It caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call 07576 138 337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit us at fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find us on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, saving lives across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Flying 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our helicopter is called out many times a day and we can reach anywhere within the Isle of Wight, including the helipad at St Mary's Hospital, within 20 minutes. Funded solely by donations, we rely upon the generosity of the public to keep us flying and saving lives. To see how you can help, please check out www.hiow-airambulance.org.uk.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
So there we were, having a bit of a guess at what Jonathan Bacon, our volunteer, was, you know, because he's quite a posh guy, he's quite well-to-do, and he's got money. And we were trying to guess what job he did, and we said he probably didn't have a job until he was about 30, because he was, like, well-to-do. But it wasn't. We both thought maybe it was a bin man falling on our times, but no. What was his job?
Well, he had to go and work at Nodes Point for a little while.
Right.
And then he went off to Polytechnic then.
He was a waiter, wasn't he?
Yes, but he wasn't there very long.
No, he didn't wait long.
No.
See, that was a standing joke. When I first worked in the shipyard, you had to go down to the stores and you know, because somebody said, go and get a long wait. Go and get me a long wait. Yeah. Go and get me some Skyhooks.
And
it was only the third one that I went down and I suddenly realised that, hey, hang on a minute, I've been had here. A long wait and some Skyhooks. Right, okay. But that's what he did. And I think, maybe that was Jonathan. Maybe he was having a wait. He was a waiter, but
waiting
didn't realise
for too long.
It.
Yeah.
Just said, go and wait over there. I got a message here from the readers. Does that ring any bells with you?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I like the sound of someone that would fix my zipper for me, macaroni. I earned £12.50 in my first week on site as a 17-year-old. I was rich as rich tea biscuit. That was a 50-hour week for that to do. Do the sums. I don't regret it, but earning so much money, I had I had my head turned and dumped my lovely wife. She lets me know about that every day.
Yes,
there is a lovely story bit to this.
There is a nice story about.
I don't know whether he wants to, phone in and tell that lovely story.
He ought to write a book about it. I think
he ought to. But what I think he was trying to get out, is that when he was younger, him and his current wife now, they were together and an item. He obviously got loads and loads of money and decided to kick her into touch.
He did. He went off with somebody else.
Made a big mistake.
Yeah,
it's funny
what
£12.50 can do, isn't it? Anyway, what else have we got here? Let's have a look. We're doing empty nest syndrome, and you've been through this yourself.
Yeah. And thinking about it, what we were talking about earlier on, when my first one went, he went off in the Royal Air Force.
Yeah.
And I can remember standing at the door with my younger son. We were stood there crying because my husband took him to the ferry and that, you know. And I can remember standing there, me and my younger son, we were crying because he went.
Aww.
But of course, when my younger one went for good, that was it. I mean, he didn't go far. He only went to Southampton University.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Was he back most weekends?
No, not really. No,
right.
No.
Okay, because I know most people have heard that. My son left home last March, and he was posted in Yorkshire, somewhere in Yorkshire. And he used to come home most weekends because he was all loved up. And he used to come all the way back from Hull. It used to take him 9 hours in total, door to door, 9 hours. And he just said, crikey, he must have been really, really, really loved
up. Well, he was, wasn't he?
Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
First job, first of all.
Sorry?
First job.
An office junior in a... can't remember what it was called. It was called in Wickford in Essex. And it was a... They made stunning... Not stunning, beautiful. Stunning to knock you silly. Apparatus for chickens and things. I think before they were slaughtered or something. I seem to remember.
Right,
stunning machines where they go through and sort of, I suppose, quickly send a volt of electricity through them or something and stun the birds before they were, whatever they did with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they knocked them out, sort of thing.
Yes. Yes. It wasn't very exciting.
How much did you get?
I bored to tears there.
How much did you get?
I can't remember. I was only 16. I can't remember.
You see, I can't remember my wage, no.
After that, I was a dental nurse. And that was lovely. I loved that job and made lots of friends and you know, still, in fact, my first sister-in-law was a dental nurse at the same practice and we're still in touch with each other now. So, you know, it's been a very long-standing friendship as well. And then from when I did that, that's when I realised I quite liked doing things with people. I then went to work in hospitals and care homes and things until, you know, time comes, you have your family, and
which leads us on nicely to empty nest syndrome.
Well, I've had a couple of empty nests, really. I suppose the first, I'm not an empty nest syndrome. My son was packed off to boarding school when he was 11. That was really quite traumatic because he seemed
dreadful.
Far too little to go away, and I don't know if it was worse for him or me. Really, I didn't like that very much. But you kind of, you know, get used to it, don't you? And then my youngest daughter went to do a VSO, VSO, voluntary CSO, a voluntary overseas thing, to Jamaica. She was going for a year, but she managed 6 months, and she was 17, and I was just beside myself at that point because I can remember I was distraught at seeing her off at Heathrow, and I've still got her letters, you know, where she sort of was homesick, and oh God, it was awful. And I can remember smelling her dressing gown and taking that to bed with me, you know. And she was a big grown-up girl. I mean, you never really get over your children, do you? However big they are, you know, you miss them horribly, and I think the trouble is they keep coming back. My nest isn't empty for long. We keep saving returns.
See, it's not forever, is it?
No. And I think with my eldest daughter, when her first marriage was, you know, when she was very unhappy in that, and she came down to the island, I hated sending her back. I remember she went off sort of walking up to the catamaran ramp, you know, to get on the catamaran to go back home and stuff. And I thought, oh God, you know, your heart literally, doesn't it, Shirley, it aches, doesn't it?
Gosh, yes. Yes.
When you're feeling for your children.
Yes,
I physically have ached inside my chest cavity for my children.
Crikey, this is going to be a happy-go-lucky phone in this one.
I mean, yeah, well
I'm sat here crying.
Well,
now,
this is the emptiness syndrome, Ian.
It's all part of life, isn't it? You have to deal with it, don't you?
And I think it affects...
It keeps coming back now, of course. I can't wait to have an empty nest because you end up having the grandchildren.
It's the grandchildren now.
that's even harder because I think it's all very well, but like 40, 50 years on, you know, I'm tired now.
I know.
And I don't actually want to have to sort of run around after little ones.
I know,
so
Jackie.
I don't sort of do too much of that, but
you
do, you know. I suppose if you didn't have those feelings, then you wouldn't have been a very good parent, perhaps, if you didn't have those.
I think it hits the mothers more than the fathers, though.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's fathers now.
It does, what a sound of it.
Have much more input, don't they, into their children's lives, very much more so.
Mm.
I know, obviously, my father, I don't know, you know, your dad went to work and they came home at night when you were in bed, and you really didn't see much of your dad, did you, when you were kiddies, when I was a little girl?
That's right,
Because
yeah.
he went early and came home late.
That's right, yeah, he did.
But now, of course, dads are real hands-on, aren't they, with feeding and nappies and pushing buggies and things.
More so,
My father would never have done anything like that.
No, I don't think my dad did either.
No. Even my first husband, now as a grandparent, is different.
Yeah.
But I think now, possibly I would think, Ian, from your generation, I dare say you were probably quite hands-on. I think it was that your generation that began being much more involved, fathers being much more involved with their children.
Because my eldest son is. Mm.
I remember being very, very hands-on with nappies and things like that. I was only good enough to change nappies at one point, I thought. And what's that cream that you use? Is it like a real thick, gloopy stuff that you use?
Grey stuff.
Pseudocreme.
Crikey.
Yeah.
That was an absolute nightmare. I remember one day that, the phone rang and I nipped off and he was trying to put his own stuff. And this pseudocreme was everywhere. Mm. And it's like tar. It's like white tar.
It's
you
really
can't get
thick.
It off.
What was that? Shirley, what was that that we used to have? It was a white, oily cream, wasn't it, before Pseudocreme, that used to put round the baby's bottoms.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember, Jackie.
Do you remember what it was? It was something in olive oil or...
I can't remember.
What's that stuff? Dripping. What dripping, was it? Bit of beef dripping, that cured everything.
Nappies. Everybody used to have to wash their nappies. And then I can remember.
Oh yeah,
that
I remember washing the nappies.
Like one-way liners that you could
that's right.
put inside the toweling nappy
yeah.
that kept the baby dry.
That's it.
Or drier.
Yeah.
So that was quite an innovation.
But really, they've got it easy these days, haven't they? Nappies already made.
Yeah.
We used to
yeah.
have to wash ours, put them on the line.
No
and
pins, just those little silly
that's
little
right.
sticky
yeah.
bits.
Yeah.
Nice, wasn't it? I thought nappies were lovely, especially if you had a little girl, you could have the little frilly rubber panty ones over the top. You
we
know,
used to have one. My mum used to make me wear those. She wanted the girl.
That explains a lot.
It does. Now we know what's the problem.
Anyway, thanks for your call.
Anyway, no, all's well that ends well, you know.
Yeah.
All the kids are fine now, so it always does work out. But I think... I don't know, empty nest syndrome. I think it comes and goes. I don't think it's a one-off. I think you can get it several times. I've had it several times. But I don't think I'll be having it anymore.
No.
I think I'm older and wiser now, and I think, really, I'm quite glad. You know, I'm even thinking of changing the locks.
Good for you. Thanks, you're cool, Jackie.
Okay.
Have a good
Jackie.
Weekend. Cheers,
okay,
bye. Holly, who's this?
Sorry to come back on again. It was Zinc. Zinc and castor oil.
That's right, I remember.
Is that the stuff you used to put on
zinc
before
Pseudocreme?
Zinc and castor
oil, yes.
Yeah, horrible stuff it was, mate.
Yeah.
Pseudocreme
yep.
was better, wasn't it? That was like white tar, it was, wasn't it?
Pseudocreme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they put anything on them these days, do they?
Well, on babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pseudocreme.
Oh, do they?
Pseudocreme.
Yeah. Oh, they still use Pseudocreme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've still got a tub of it somewhere.
No, it comes in handy, mate.
I'll tell you what, instead of getting yourself some wallpaper paste, you've just got to get some Pseudocreme, stick that on the paper and stick that up.
Expensive, mate, but, I don't suffer too badly with empty nest syndrome, but...
Because they live next door.
That's right, they do, don't they?
I was going to say, one lives 60 feet and the other lives about 160 feet. Sort of an often visit, so...
When they first left, though, Keith, did they go farther than that?
Son did. He went to he went to university for a while.
Right. You must have missed him, though, haven't you?
I've been a bit of a loner, you know what I mean? But the missus, she did, mate. She definitely missed him. You could tell that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's always checking her phone, see whether he's messaged her or he's messaged, you know, that sort of thing. And, he was always trying to get up there for the weekend, up to Gloucester to go and see him, you know.
Yeah.
When he was in uni, but he didn't stay there long. He's only there for, 3 months, if that. Then he went and become a head gardener. So, just goes to show you sometimes the things you go to follow your dream, and it's not the dream you wanted, is it?
No, well, I don't know. I can't speak for your son.
You have to look up to him.
But there he is, living next door.
Well, yeah. No, he's literally about 160 feet away. He's just down the road.
Brilliant.
But, like I said, my daughter, my middle daughter, she's just 60 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
How lovely is that?
Oh, I think it's lovely.
It's got disadvantages.
Yeah.
Dad, can you run around and pop a tin of baked beans for the window or things like that, you know?
Oh, I love
it. How brilliant is that?
I love it, because my boys are on the island. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always is.
Not quite so lovely for them.
You know, they're gone, but it's always nice to have them back, even though it's just a short one, and then they go again, like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said earlier, have a good weekend.
And you, Keith.
And you, Keith.
Catch you all again soon.
Thanks for your call, mate.
Hello, then.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.
Penny says, just got to get on with it. Your kids are happy. If they're happy, then you have peace of mind and start filling your time with things that you would do and like to do, and be proud that you have given them the strength to be independent. There's also a kiss here, and I'm hoping that's for me, not you. Sandy says, Andy Penn says, as a single mother with a 17-year-old who can move out at any time now. I don't know whether this is a fact or a hint.
Mm.
You can move out any time now.
Sounds like a hint, doesn't it?
Yeah. I am dreading it. It's bad enough when she goes away for a few days, at least. Mm. I have my dog.
Yeah?
At least I have my dog.
Mm. As long as you've got somebody there or something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a dog or a husband or
that's something. Sad if you're a single mother. You don't it conjures up a vision, doesn't it,
when you're left all by yourself.
Yeah, because I mean, you know if you're a couple, then you can share the load. But if you're on your own, that's it, you're on your own, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's kind of tragic. I've not sort of thought about that much. Pyro says it was always worse for my mother.
Mm.
Always worse for what? When Phil left, I bet she got the flags out when Phil left.
I bet she went and got drunk, don't you?
She just leading you on. Yeah, old Phil was really sad. Oh, he's gone. Hey, let's have a party. So Pete Richardson says, I have a little empty mandrills nest. This is Pete from the Purple Mandrills. The Rainbow Mandrills. They're a brilliant band, and syndrome starting. If you know what I mean, Ian, but I have worked the youngsters hard this summer holiday and have more vocals sung for new songs than sessions available to mix them. Ha ha. Chat soon. That's from Pete. I think there's a cryptic message in there. I think basically some of the lads that's in his band have gone away to university, and he's missing them. And he's got Alan James has got a message here, and it says, we have a woofer because the wife was worried about being left with me, and has sent a lovely picture of their dog called Woofer.
Woofer.
And there he is. There's Woofer.
Oh, he's lovely.
Do you know what? I'd even stroke that dog. I'm not big on dogs.
I know you're not.
And I'm really not big on dogs, but he looks sweet enough to stroke. And also David Nove says, it's a bit strange at first, but you get used to it, and you do look forward to seeing them.
Yes, that's right.
And then you can't wait for them to go again.
Right. Especially the grandchildren.
And have you noticed that your kids come in? And they do. And all they want to do is use your loo. They come in, they use your loo, they eat your food, have a drink, and then they clear off again, don't they?
They sit and play on their phones.
They do, yeah. You're having a conversation with them,
yeah,
and they're on their phones.
That's it.
Yeah. And they're not having a conversation with you.
No,
you get yes, no.
They've just come in to eat your food. Well, this is grandchildren for
you. And then
you
think to yourself, I've missed you. What have I missed? What's going on?
Well, they just like to come home, I think.
They do.
Yeah.
There's nothing like your own loo. Anyway, that's just about it from us.